We are back with David Borton and our physics segment, Equality Under the Law, Practical Physics. Welcome back to the studio, David.
Well, thank you. It's always good to see you.
Good to see you. So what's on the menu for today?
Well, you said you wanted to talk about parabolas, and I'm not sure why. So why don't you tell me why you want to talk about parabolas?
To be really honest with you, one of my favorite magazines is called Parabola. The subtitle is The Search for Meaning, and it's about interwoven religious and spiritual traditions. But they use the parabola as a metaphor for the arc of questioning meaning, the arc of a human life. So it just always seemed like a really beautiful metaphor to me.
All right, so let's talk about an arc. The first time we talked, what was the arc that we talked about?
The arc of a basketball shooting through the air into a hoop.
Yeah, and that arc gave us what basic laws that are true throughout the universe?
Newton's Big Three.
Newton's Big Three, good. So the parabola actually is the curve that the basketball follows. So we're good there, right? We're back to where we started. Okay, so now then, my question next is the Earth round or flat? Now, again, you know I'm talking about with respect to solar energy.
Carl Sagan famously had an episode of Cosmos where he talked about the Flatlanders and dimensions. So I feel like this is a trick question. In the year 2018, it's supposed to be pretty easy to answer the question, is the Earth round or flat? It's round. But I have a feeling, you're talking about in regards to solar energy, right?
Correct.
I have a feeling that there's an unexpected twist, and that in regards to the sun permeating the Earth's atmosphere, the Earth is actually flat.
Okay, that's a good answer, because think about the table in front of us, and suppose there was a piece of glass on top of this table.
Okay.
Would you call the table flat?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, and would you call a piece of glass on top of it flat?
Yes.
Okay, so that the Earth's atmosphere is like the piece of glass on top of the table. And the sun, if it's coming from straight overhead, goes straight through the glass. And the sun, if it's coming from 30 degrees above the horizon, goes pretty much straight through the glass also.
Okay.
Okay, so with respect to the sun, that going through the Earth's atmosphere at 30 degrees is twice the path as if the sun is coming straight down.
Oh.
And that can be measured. And so that with respect to the sun coming through the Earth's atmosphere, it is as if the Earth was flat.
Oh. How does that relate to climate change?
Okay. If you're inside a building that's got glass and the sun is shining, what happens inside the building?
There's a certain refraction of light off of the glass, right?
Yeah, but what happens inside the building? How do you feel?
Well, if it's a glass building, the sun's streaming in very warm.
Yes. The sun's energy comes in at a short wavelength called light. And you know radio waves and all that. Heat from the sun coming in becomes a longer wavelength, i.e. infrared, and the infrared does not go out through the glass. So that's called the what effect?
Greenhouse.
Ah, yes.
And it's interesting how that term was used before the term climate change became very popular.
Okay, well, if you were on the moon, how would you feel?
What do you mean? If I were in a glass house on the moon?
Well, the moon is very cold. It's the same distance from the sun as the Earth, okay? But it's very cold because there's no atmosphere, so there's no greenhouse effect. So that the climate, if you will, on the moon is not hospitable. In terms of greenhouse effect, the thin layer of atmosphere over the flat Earth, and again, flat in this case refers to the angle of the sun, you know, it heats up the Earth, and the air keeps the heat in so that the climate actually gets warmer.
Well, two things. So first of all, Carl Sagan always described the atmosphere as being so thin that it would be the equivalent of a layer of shellac on a schoolroom globe.
So I called it a layer of glass on the table. Okay, so we're just talking slightly different scales.
Should we be thinking about two spherical objects creating a direct line between them when we think about the sun directly hitting the Earth's atmosphere? that the reason why you could quote-unquote say the Earth is flat is because you've got two spherical objects in relation to one another, and that creates a direct line and a direct line of energy.
Yeah, okay. Well, the direct line of energy then comes down to what we call this table and the glass on it. So the table and the glass is flat with respect to where we are.
Discourse a few years ago was all about holes in the ozone layer and that we had to protect the ozone layer. But you don't really hear that as much in the urgency of the rhetoric about climate change now. There's a general understanding that the atmosphere is trapping more CO2 and more heat. But do people still talk about the ozone layer?
The ozone layer is actually coming back because of the Montreal Protocol, which limited chlorofluorocarbons. And that means that the chlorofluorocarbons are no longer going up into the atmosphere where they can react with the ozone and remove it from the atmosphere. Now, if there was no ozone up there, you and I would fry every time we went out in the sun because the ultraviolet would come through and we would get skin cancers and not be happy.
Would your solar boat go 200 miles an hour as we were destructing?
No, there's not that much energy in the ultraviolet. There's enough to cook us, but not enough to make a big difference to the solar panels.
So getting back to parabolas, and actually the issue of climate change has, it often has my friends and I talking about the search for meaning quite a bit. So I'm trying to connect the idea of a magazine called Parabola and how it's about a quest for meaning and what we were just talking about, climate change, and just what a parabola actually is and why we should know about it.
Well, let's talk about the parabola and call it the arc of life and compare that to the arc of a basketball. So how far does the basketball travel from the three-point line to the basket? Okay, so 30 feet, and you know approximately how fast the basketball is going. Sure, I can't remember. But it's about 15 miles an hour.
Okay.
So that 15 miles an hour is going along a horizontal direction, right? Because the basketball first goes up, mm-hmm. and because it's in gravity, there is a what on it? The gravitational
pull.
Gravitation, and Newton's second law says that if there's an unbalanced force on an object, the object will accelerate,
right.
Okay, so if the object is going up, the force is in the other direction. And so the basketball goes up for a while, and then it stops, and then it starts to come down, accelerating again with the speed of gravity.
How's that like a parabola?
That is a parabola.
The entire trajectory of the basketball is a parabola.
Yes.